Welcome to the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Schimpoli, News Director for APPA. Our guest on this episode is Missy Henriksen, Executive Director for the Center for Energy Workforce Development. APPA is a member of the Center. We thought it would be a good time for Missy to return to the podcast, given that Careers in Energy Week is October 16th through the 20th. Missy, thanks for returning as a guest on Public Power Now.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today, Paul.
Great. So Missy, to get our conversation started, I'm sure a lot of our members are aware of your organization, what you guys do. But for those who may not be that familiar with it, could you describe the center? And also, given that APPA is a member of the center, could you detail what resources are available to APPA members through the Center for Energy Workforce Development?
Absolutely. So CEWD, for those who may need a refresher to what we do, we work with about 140 utilities across the country and their contractors. So we also work with labor. We also serve as the workforce development arm for about 8 different national trade associations, including APPA. We are, in essence, their workforce development arm. And we are all working together to ensure a skilled and diverse energy workforce. We carry out that objective really in 4 different buckets. First of all, is the first area of business is career awareness, really working to make sure people understand the variety of opportunities to work in energy and the essential work that exists here within the sector, the innovation that's required as we all work towards America's clean energy future. Second goal has to do with ways we can support the development of a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplaces. Third has to do with how we can prepare people for increasingly technical and increasingly dynamic energy careers. A lot of work being done in that space for sure. And the fourth goal is kind of, I always refer to it as our everything else goal, things that don't fall into the other buckets, but are certainly very important as we look at workforce development. And that is how we support workforce development practitioners with the data and the resources and the best practices and networking that they need. And also, with increasing regularity, we've been focusing on providing education as it relates to workforce development and policy. We don't do any lobbying. We're not actively engaged in policy development, but providing information to people as there's become so much attention by this administration in particular on what's really needed for our 21st century energy workforce. And so to the second part of your question, in terms of the resources, there are a variety of things that we hope APPA's members will take advantage of. First of all, we have a host of resources that really can help bring industry careers to life. There are a variety of flyers and videos that organizations can use, and those can be found on our website, CEWD.org. We hope people will use them at career fairs, interacting with veterans communities, working with youth or career-ready adults who really want to understand what we have in the energy industry for career paths. Second resource I'd bring to your group's attention is our DE&I roadmap for industry change. The roadmap is a document that was released last fall. It was created by CEWD, all of our partner associations, including APPA and IBEW. And it offers a look at the why for DE&I and the what companies need to be doing, what labor needs to be doing, and what the industry needs to be doing to really support those diverse, equitable, and inclusive workplaces. This year, we're working on the how and giving some guidance on how to bring some of the recommendations to life, but a ton of good information in there. Third resource I'll mention is our new EIF curriculum, and I'd love to dig into that a little further if time allows today, but it's a resource that energy companies can make available to schools within their communities to help students learn more about energy and its career paths. And then the fourth thing I'd mention is we've just produced a list of information about energy policies as they relate to workforce, what things are important to us as an industry. All of those resources live on CEWD.org, and they're all available for anyone's use.
Great. Yeah, you read my mind with respect to the availability on your website. So thanks for reviewing those resources for our listeners. So just wanted to pivot to the next topic, which is wanted to get your thoughts on what the top workforce challenges you see facing the energy sector these days.
All of the above, lots of things. I think, you know, workforce development has gone from, you know, hey, wonderful folks in HR, we need some people, please go get them and make sure that they've got the skills that they need to do all the work that we need to have done. But that dynamic is changing. according to some of the most recent reports and forecasts, I guess, with IRA funding and everything that's gone through lately, they're saying that we could need to hire 9 million people to support the energy workforce. Obviously, not all in the utility community, but we really have to look at the strength of our ecosystem. So I think as we look at challenges, finding the talent, where are we going to find all of these folks, particularly in some communities as retirements continue to be an increasing challenge or concern that company leaders have? So how are we going to get all these people? And then as we're doing that, how are we going to train them? Again, I referenced earlier, one of our goals is how we're supporting people in the development of increasingly technical and dynamic energy jobs. And so what does the training look like? How can we modernize training? How can we get training done more quickly while still respecting the importance of safety and never compromising on expediting training, because we really want to make sure that people really have the skills to do the jobs at hand. As we look at the new and emerging areas of energy technology, what are the skill sets people are going to need? What are the career paths that exist? And how can we prepare as an industry for work in some of those spaces? And looking at the skill gap. So I think people will be hiring with increasing regularity, not for just the certifications and degrees and experiences that people have, but what are the skills that we can train people for that they may no longer be coming to us with? There's definitely a forecast of an educator shortage. So some of the things that historically we thought, we'll just go get someone who has experience in X, Y, and Z. I think we're going to need to look at some of those things a little differently. Also, making sure the strength of our workforce ecosystem is strong. I think historically we've all really just kind of needed to look out for ourselves. What people do we need to produce the work we need to do for those we serve? Well, now with the intersectionality of kind of where things are going, where things are headed, we also have to look at our ecosystem. We need our contractors to be able to have their workforce in place. So as we look at things like electrifying the country, a lot of the hiring demand will be on people to operate and maintain those charging stations. A lot of that responsibility will fall to contractors. How are they getting and training those individuals? As we look at the manufacturers, huge supply chain shortage with things like transformers. How can we make sure that those we rely on have the workforce they need for us to be strong in our portion of the work we do? And I think we'll need to continue to look at that ecosystem differently and look at how we can perform workforce development responsibilities as a sector, more so than company by company. And then the last thing I would mention is the continued effort so many companies are doing to increase the diversity of their workforce, to ensure that their workforce better reflects the communities and customers they serve. There's been tremendous action and development and response in this area, but we certainly still have a long way to go. And helping communities of people who are underrepresented today really see themselves as being part of this industry. And so I think those are probably some of the things that are topping the list of the challenges that are before us.
So yeah, as I mentioned in the introduction, we wanted to time the release of this episode to Careers in Energy Week. So I want to give the opportunity to tell our listeners what the activities that you guys are planning for in the Careers in Energy Week.
It is one of our favorite times of the year. So October the 16th through the 20th are the dates for Careers in Energy Week this year. And we have been putting out a variety of materials that we hope everyone will use. I'll give you a couple highlights. So first, and one of the most exciting things, is we have a Spotify playlist. It's called The Energy Zone. It has about 3.5 hours of energy-focused music. It's really fun. It covers a lot of different genres. A lot of people will be surprised at how many songs are actually related to energy. But we would encourage people to listen to that, promote that, download it. It's a lot of fun and certainly just a creative way to get people engaged with energy. We will be doing a live chat all throughout the week next week during core business hours. And we would encourage people to help promote that live chat where you can go and get your questions answered about how do you get started in the energy industry, what kind of jobs exist here, what are the skills people will be looking for. That live chat will live on our consumer site, which is getintoenergy.org. So we encourage people to let their students know, let their career-ready adults know, anyone that they have on their list for targeted opportunities to promote energy careers. So that's another resource. And then there's just a ton of different flyers and materials that we've made available. We've created a couple that are new just for this week. They're a little cheeky, a little fun. One is based on your horoscope, what career in energy might be right for you. Obviously, there's no scientific method to the madness there, but it's designed to be kind of a fun way to get people engaged with some different opportunities in energy. There's a flyer there, and there's different social media graphics for each of the different zodiac signs. There's also another one that's kind of a play on dating apps, and it's designing a personal ad that describes what kind of careers might be right for you based on certain things that you like to do. And then there's another couple of dozen generic flyers and videos that are all available, a bunch of social media graphics, and all of those can be found at on our industry site, cewd.org. All of those are available for anyone to download and put to use. And we really hope we see them repeated many times throughout the week as we encourage everyone to get into energy.
So, Missy, you mentioned earlier the Energy Industry Fundamentals Program. Could you elaborate on what this is about?
Absolutely. I was hoping we'd have a few minutes for this. So the Energy Industry Fundamentals Program is a 120-hour curriculum that launched this past August that's designed to expose high school learners, post-secondary learners to energy and the various career paths that it offers. We had a former version of this, EIF 1.0, I guess it was developed about 12 years ago, and it was great and modern at the time, but certainly the industry has changed a tremendous amount in the past 12 years. I don't think the words electric and vehicle appeared side by side in that first curriculum. Renewables were just a tiny fraction of the content. So the new curriculum really speaks to where the industry is today, and more importantly, where we're going as a sector. The curriculum is free of charge. And we offer a variety of different resources to make it easy for educators to bring this into their classroom. We've got pacing guides, we've got assessments, we've got suggestions for labs that educators can offer. There's a lot of videos that really help bring the industry to life for students. So we hope that energy companies will consider making the curriculum available to their educators, making them more aware that it exists to get them excited about bringing it into their classrooms. Obviously, energy companies can also strengthen the curriculum by providing guest speakers, offering field trips, bringing some of the equipment over to the schools to really kind of reinforce what students are learning within the classroom. The other thing that's exciting about the program is right now it's 120 hours. It's kind of gen ed, a little bit of everything about the industry and its career opportunities. We will be adding different elective modules to the curriculum over time as well. This is really fulfilling a need to get learners better connected with the industry and give them some of the understanding and competencies that will set them up on a career path for coming our way. We hope that everyone who completes the program will earn an industry-recognized certificate, really showcasing their interest in and aptitude for the industry. We expect to educate over 500,000 students over the next 10 years, so pretty excited about what this can offer. I'll also just mention in the education space two other things we're working on. One is the development of an energy technician associate degree that we could offer to technical schools around the country at no charge to help them expedite training for some of the things the industry needs, particularly as it relates to technicians in the field. And then also working on the development of industry created registered apprenticeship programs. So with the EIF curriculum, the consideration of the industry developed RAPs and the Universal Energy Technician Associate's degree, we're really looking at that third goal of making sure we're preparing people for increasingly technical and dynamic energy careers in a way that will help get people trained in a way that will prepare them for success within the sector.
Well, Missy, given the plethora of challenges and opportunities related to workforce development and the energy sector, we'd love to have you back at some point in the future and consider yourself having an open invitation to come back as a guest.
I appreciate that, and I'd love to take you up on it. Thank you for the offer.
Sounds good. Thanks again for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer, APPA. I'm Paul Schimpola, and we'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.